Okay, yeah, hello and thank you for this nice introduction. My name is Erik Willmann. I am from the Institute of Polymers and Composites. And today I would like to give you an insight of a vibration-based structural health monitoring method for CFRP. CFRP are used in numerous load-bearing structures where high specific strength and stiffness is essential. And due to their multi-scale nature, this leads under load to complex damage mechanism. And under fatigue, this leads to sudden failure. So what we need is a detection of safety critical damages like matrix cracks, delaminations, and fiber breakages, which can also occur during manufacturing or service. Impact damages are often not or barely visible, and inspections with conventional non-destructive testing methods lead to a very time-consuming because of standstill, and sometimes it's the disassembly is necessary, and of course it's very labor-intensive. So what we need is monitoring and detecting during the operation, which reduces the costs and will increase safety. So our goals are a reliable lifetime prediction in CFRP with our testing method VAM, or vibroacoustic modulation, and a quality assurance. So this is our experimental approach. We use different CFRP prepregs, Hexel M21 and thin ply prepreg from NTPT. And we use different layups. So first of all, we used cross-ply laminates with different numbers of 90-degree layers and to generate interfiber failures in the 90-degree layers and to modify the crack size and crack density. And also, we used quasi-isotropic laminate from thick to thin ply to change our failure modes. We had three different testing methods, stepwise tensor tests, fatigue tests under tension load, and fatigue after impact tests under tension compression load. And my focus in this talk is at the fatigue test and fatigue after impact tests. So first of all, what is the vibroacoustic modulation? A structural component is exposed simultaneously to a high-frequency oscillation by a piece of ceramic actuator and by a low-frequency vibration due to a cyclic testing machine. And as you can see here on the lower left, here, if there aren't any damages, you only got the peaks at the low frequency and the high frequency. And afterwards, the second piezo then receives the response signal, and we have here the measured signal. It is a nonlinear modulation, so the low frequency modulates the high frequency, and we have a steady state. And with increasing damages, this modulation will increase. In frequency domain, you can see here that there's the peak of the high frequency, and besides the sidebands in also higher order. The most commonly used VAM parameter so far for damage evaluation is the MI, the modulation index, and this is the relation between the high frequency peak and the first sideband. So with increasing number of damages, this modulation index will increase too. And as you can see, VAM is a non-destructive testing method, especially for structural health monitoring and damage detection. But first, it was necessary to find out the fundamental relations on VAM. And for that, we varied or we increased the stress amplitude of our cyclic testing machine, and we used a unidirectional prepreg specimen to avoid damages within this measurement. And as you can see, at 220 kilohertz, we have an increasing modulation, an increasing envelope with increasing stress amplitudes. And yeah, we can see this behavior at different frequencies. The second one was to find out if it's possible to measure this this behavior at tension-tension regime and tension-compression regime. And here you can see that there's a nice correlation between the MI and the stress amplitude. So with increasing stress amplitude in both regions, we have the increase of our MI. For the fatigue test, we have this experimental approach. As I said in the beginning, the first piezo excites a frequency band from 185 to 230 kilohertz, and the second piezo receives the response signal. On the right-hand side, you can see two areas. The first area is the carrier excitation for the piezoceramics, and the upper one is the excitation with the cyclic testing machine. And as you can see here, the simultaneous excitation with the cycling testing machine and the piezos. And the first VAM measurement starts before the first fatigue cycle, and afterwards, with increasing fatigue cycles, the different VAM measurement follows. Yeah, and now I come to the first results of the cross preliminates, starting with the black and gray lines, moving to the blue and green and blue lines, the number of 90 degree layers increases, and this leads to also an increasing amplitude change of our sidebands. In the X-ray scans, you can see that we have an increasing crack size with increasing number of 90 degree layers, and this leads to a larger crack opening by the vibration, and this is the reason why the modulation is higher in higher number of 90 degree layers. The second one that we found out is that we have a nice correlation between the relative stiffness and the MI, and as a result, we have an excellent correlation, as I said. It is possible to detect interfiber failures with our VAM measurement, and the vibroacoustic modulation is more sensitive to crack size due to larger crack opening. The results of the quasi-isotropic laminates show a completely different behavior. In this first region, we only have a continuous decreasing relative stiffness. And you can see here in the X-ray scans, we have only interfiber failures in the 45 and 90 degree layers. And with this interfiber failures, we got an increasing modulation. And in time domain, you can see a very nice envelope of the low frequency. With progressive fatigue load, we have on the one side exponential decrease of our relative stiffness, and on the other side also a decrease of our sidebands. And this is caused by two different effects. First, we have edge delaminations which starts at the edges from the interfiber failures due to high interlaminar shear stresses. And by this separation of the layers, we have additional friction in our specimen. And this friction, by additional vibrations, you can see here in the time domain. So this nice envelope, which we have seen in the first measurement, it deviates. And yeah, with progressive fatigue load, this delamination starts to multiple delaminations and a more deviation from our envelope. As a result, the propagation of edge delaminations correlates pretty well with our VAM signal, and we can define a threshold from the interfiber failures to the delamination. Yeah, as Bodo Fiedler said yesterday with the mechanical behavior of thin plies, we have here two different mechanical behaviors, a continuous decreasing of our relative stiffness with only interfiber failures, and with thicker plies, we have a delamination-dominated behavior. And this mechanical behavior we can see in our VAM behavior too. The thinner plies only generates interfiber failures and generates an increasing of our modulation. And the other one, the thicker one, generates an increase and afterwards a decrease like we saw in the slide before. The second one, which I would like to show you, are the thin ply impact tests. We introduced impacts from 5 to 6.5 and 8 joule. And afterwards, we do VAM measurements by using this anti-buckling support. And here you can see this tiny window where we applied the piezoceramic actuators on the specimen, directly on the impact. To introduce the high frequency signal and to receive the response signal. And here you can see that we get very nice delamination pictures, and we have a good correlation between the delamination area and the increasing modulation index. Yeah, the fatigue after impact tests show that we only have a slow or less increasing modulation in our specimen. This is caused by the anti-buckling support, so the transversal vibration is suppressed. But we can see here that we get in our VAM signal a maximum. So there's the same behavior as at our fatigue test in tension-tension regime. So we have an increase of our VAM signal and afterwards a decrease. And one reason is that we applied the piezoceramic actuators directly on the impact, and at the impact we have a strong buckling area. So where the signal can't go through the entire specimen, and so we got a decreasing signal strength. Yeah, and this is the last slide I would like to show you. The Wöhler curves of the fatigue after impact test. And here you can see that we have a shorter lifetime due to higher impact energy, but the layer thickness are less critical for fatigue performance. To conclude, we have a very sensitive structural health monitoring method for damage detection in thin and thick ply, and we saw that interfiber failures lead to a VAM sideband increase, and crack size and crack density influences our VAM signal. large-scale deeliminations result in a stiffness proportional decrease of our side bands, and we have a very nice correlation between the delamination area and the MI. And the last one, there is a threshold from the interfiber failures to delamination and a maximum due to buckling at the impacts at the fatigue after impact tests. So, thank you very much.
Okay, so we have time maybe for one quick question. No questions?
Yep.
Sorry.
That's a very nice presentation, and being able to characterize the different damage types and so on. Really liked it. But I'm just wondering, how far are we away from actually implementing such a structural health monitoring system on an aircraft, and how would you get this through the certification process, etc., etc., because everything that flies has to be certified, and of course there's the added complexity of how you deal with sensor failure and all that kind of thing. So maybe a few comments on that.
Yeah, the motivation behind the VAM measurement was that it is a very simple setup. So we only need one piece of ceramic actuator, which costs €5. We want to not introduce actively the low frequency, but to use the ambient vibration. And we do some tests at the Kühlbrand Bridge in Hamburg, where the ambient vibration is a superposition of 10 to 20 hertz. And this would be nice research to get from this ambient vibration pure sinus to analyze our damages within the VAM measurement. But yeah, maybe it's not the direct answer to your question.
I'm having a look at your nice little thing in the circle there, and I can see wind blades and bridges and trains, but no aircraft. So I think maybe the application area might be a little bit more forthcoming for those things than for maybe in civil aircraft, which you started your presentation with. But anyway, it was a lovely presentation. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's thank Eric again.